Regrets and Resolutions, that music by Gary Shocker. I first heard that performed by one of my guests today, Dr. Joanna Cowan-White, professor of flute at Central Michigan University. She performed that last fall with the Symphonic Wind Ensemble on their program. And she joins me today along with her husband, Dr. Kenan White. He is professor of clarinet at the CMU School of Music. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks for joining me today. And I remember seeing you, seeing that concert, that performance, and you performing that piece. It was wonderful.
It's a beautiful piece.
Yes, yes. So you have another performance, the two of you, tomorrow night, Tuesday evening at 7:30 at Staples Family Concert Hall at the CMU School of Music, your faculty recital tomorrow.
Right. We're celebrating the release of our new CD, Flute Clarinet Chronicles.
Oh, nice. So let's talk about that in a little bit. But first of all, faculty recital, do you do this every year? Do you do a recital every year? Are CMU faculty required to do recitals?
No, we do. But a lot of us perform often on campus, and we love to. And such a welcoming audience, and our students get to be there. And this Crescent Duo performance is something we like to schedule every now and then. And we're joined by Tracy Watson, mezzo-soprano, and Zhao Wang, piano, and we love to work with them. And Robert Fanning will also come read one of the poems that goes with one of the pieces.
Mm-hmm. So the two of you are called the Crescent Duo.
That's right. We've been performing together since about 1985, I think. And we took that name probably in the 90s. We live on Crescent Drive. So that was one of the reasons we came up with that name.
And what's on the program for tomorrow?
We're playing just selections from all or most of the pieces on the new CD. So we'll play brief movements from a number of different works from the CD.
And works by Roger Zehr, Daniel Dorff, Catherine McMichael, Chelsea Comschlies, Marilyn Beery, and Rusty Banks.
Nice. And so you have some colleagues joining you, too, for the program tomorrow?
Just the two performers, but those were all the composers that I listed just now.
By the way, I need to also welcome Phil and Carolyn Cowan, your parents, all the way in from California. Welcome to snowy mid-Michigan. So thanks for being here today. I think they may be shy, although if you want to get, if you want, I could turn your mic up, so let me know.
Well, yeah, I just want to say a really quick story. We're really excited that they came for the concert. They don't always get to come to our concerts, but they're big supporters of us and our music, and they really like to hear us play. And I always tease them because they'll go to concerts very often, right? Like San Francisco Symphony, and they'll say, oh, we went to the San Francisco Symphony because they live in Berkeley. And I'll say, oh, you went to the wrong concert because we're playing a concert the same night.
Aww.
And so every now and then they try to make good and come to our concerts.
Well, you know, every young musician, when they're starting out, has somebody, and it's probably their parents, has someone who makes sure that there is an instrument available to play, makes sure that there is a private teacher, that you get to the lesson, someone pays for the lessons and takes you all over the place to competitions and auditions and performances and comes to all of those concerts and make sure that everything is okay and supports you when you have a great performance and supports you if you have a not so great performance. And I'm thinking that that Phil and Carolyn, they were
absolutely
there for you.
We both have parents that were that way,
yes.
Very supportive of us.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say also that my dad plays piano by ear, and we would often play Broadway tunes and work our way through that literature, and that's just been fabulous for me through all the years. But we actually did that this week again, and that was
how nice.
It makes my heart sing.
So on behalf of everyone who has ever listened to the two of you play or have been your students, thank you so much, Phil and Carolyn. And thanks to all the parents who do that for their musical kids. I was fortunate that way too. And we mention often here, I think, on Afternoon Classical that having music in your life from the very beginning is so important. So, yes, so
absolutely.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So tell me a little bit about some of the pieces on the program for tomorrow and on the new CD?
Well, one of the pieces, we're playing two pieces by young composer Chelsea Kamschlies. The first of those is called Steam. And that piece, she describes it as taking the listener into a steampunk fantasy world in which an eccentric inventor is creating a flying machine.
Wow.
So it's four movements long. We'll play just two short movements, but each of those movements focuses on a different aspect of that.
Mm-hmm.
The other piece we're playing by her is called Book of Spells. And that one is fun also, and that includes some of her original artwork. So she's also an artist and a jewelry maker. And we'll be projecting, we expect the artwork that she provides to go along with the piece.
Oh, that's nice. So and that's Joanna, fun. Will you wear some of her jewelry too?
No, but I do want to say that in order to let Chelsea know about the concert coming up and the CD release coming up, I mean, she knows that we're performing or have her works on the CD, but I looked her up in order to get that information to her and on Facebook, and she just had a baby this past week, and so that was very exciting.
Yeah, lots of new things for her then. By the way, is the CD actually out yet? Is it available, or are you just performing pieces from the upcoming CD?
We will actually have copies at the concert.
Oh, uh-huh.
Yeah, that people can buy if they want to, and it will be going up on the Blue Griffin website, that's the record company.
Mm-hmm.
In about a week, I think, or maybe, no, later this week. And then in a few weeks after that, it'll be available on the streaming platforms, Spotify and whatever.
Well, the two of you are certainly not strangers to a recording studio. You have several CDs. I have a couple of them right in front of me here. There's Flights of Fancy. There's Poet as Muse. There's your recording with the Powers Woodwind Quintet, and also Woodwind Echoes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so you record regularly then?
Yeah, we like to create new repertoire, so a number of the pieces have been commissioned by us either directly or through university grants or mm-hmm. as part of a consortium, different consortiums, and some of them are just works that we feel are underrepresented, so we try to dig out great pieces and make them available. And a few of them are standards in the repertoire.
Yeah, I was going to ask how you choose what to put on a CD.
Some of the CDs have had themes. The last CD, Poet as Muse, had a theme. Everything was inspired by poetry or poets working with composers.
Mm-hmm.
This CD was less of a theme and more just pieces that we thought were valuable that we wanted to bring to the world. But we do know, we work with Catherine McMichael, a well-known Saginaw composer. We work with her in the Saginaw Bay Orchestra. She's a keyboard player also. And we loved her Dog Chronicles and wanted to do it with Tracy Watson. We love working with Tracy.
And that's on the concert Tuesday.
And that's on the concert. A delightful, charming piece. And I think Catherine will be there at the concert. And so, you know, we picked pieces we really wanted to play. There is a tiny thread of a theme running through this CD, but not intentional. We love the Dog Chronicles, but we just couldn't leave it at that because we're cat people.
Oh.
And so, and we know Daniel Dorf, too. I worked on the board of the National Flute Association with him for 2 years, and he's big in the publishing world, but he's a well-known composer, and he has a piece, Two Cats, for flute and clarinet. I believe he's a clarinetist. And so Two Cats, one of the cats will be on the concert. And a Rusty Banks piece about snakes, five different kinds of snakes.
Oh, my. So a little bit of an animal theme going on there.
A little bit.
I'd like to talk more about what it's like to make a CD, but let's listen to some music first from Flights of Fancy. If you could tell us a little bit about this piece, the David piece.
Yes. David is a composer that lived right into the beginning of this century. And he was an Austrian composer, but lived in Iran and was very important, apparently, to music there. He was a conductor and composer there. And this piece was on our first CD, recorded many years ago. But it's particularly virtuoso for flute and clarinet, two movements, but the two instruments really in conversation with each other.
So let's listen to the sonata by Thomas Christian David, performed by the Crescent Duo, Dr. Joanna Cowan White and Dr. Kenan White. The sonata for flute and clarinet, written by Thomas Christian David, performed by the Crescent Duo. The Crescent Duo, my guest today, Dr. Joanna Cowan White, flutist, and Dr. Kenan White, clarinetist, and both are on the faculty of the Central Michigan University School of Music, and the Crescent Duo will be performing tomorrow evening at 7:30 in Staples Family Concert Hall at the School of Music, celebrating a new CD.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so what a great performance that was. And speaking of CDs, we mentioned that you have recorded often. What is it like to put together a recording? Is it first you have to choose the repertory, and then you have to obviously practice it and work in a recording studio. And what is that like? Take us through that process a little bit.
Well, it's a big project. You mentioned the selecting music. That's a big part of it, and then learning it. We try to perform the pieces in public ahead of time as mm-hmm. much as possible so that we really feel comfortable with them. And it's a little different going into the recording studio where you're trying to get every single detail right, knowing that a couple of years from now some graduate student somewhere will be listening to it with a score as they prepare this piece or whatever, or that the composers who are mostly still alive will know exactly what you played. So there's a premium on accuracy, but at the same time, you have to try to be musical. It's a pretty unnatural experience, but we've gotten more comfortable with it over the years. We try to record ourselves in advance a lot so that we really know what it's going to sound like when we get in the studio and we aren't surprised on that first playback,
And of course, you really have to trust your engineer.
Absolutely. We've really liked all the engineers that we've worked with. We've worked with several different ones, and we love working with them all. They all have really terrific ear. And it's great to work with them.
Yeah, very helpful.
I think, too, we like to plan our projects not just around music that we want people to hear and to share with people, but also around colleagues that we love to work with. And we've done that on many different CDs. We've brought people together to work together with us. And that, to me, is a lot of the rewarding part about making these projects happen is getting to collaborate.
Yeah.
Yeah, we hear that a lot from musicians. They love to share their music not only with their audience, but with each other, too, and work together. That is the fun part about making music. And as a duo, not only do you work together as the Crescent Duo, but both of you perform in many other ensembles, too, don't you?
We do. Actually, we just had a Saginaw Bay Symphony Orchestra concert, and Joanna's parents were able to come to that on this trip as well.
So nice.
They heard a rehearsal of that. And the concert, and they're going to hear our rehearsal tonight and then our concert tomorrow. So they're getting a lot of music on this trip.
Well, thank you so much for, like I said before, for everything that you did to and still do to support Joanna and Kenan, too.
And Kenan's parents also love music, and Kenan's dad was a musician, also not by profession, but very amazing musician and pianist and
yeah, absolutely. A huge influence. He played piano for me when I was a student in high school and junior high, accompanied me at
wow.
solo and ensemble.
Wow. Oh.
And it was a big influence musically for sure.
Oh, yeah. And Joanna and Phil, I'm sure you're just so proud of Joanna and of Kenan.
Pride doesn't really
matter. Oh, yeah. Oh wow! I'm getting I'm thinking about my parents who have been gone for quite a while, but yeah, big influence too, and it's a huge thing to bring that gift of music to the home. Like the music is always there.
And remind me, Judy, what you play?
I play horn.
Okay.
Yeah, and my mom and dad were always listening to music, always public radio, always classical music, always constant music all the time. So very, very fortunate to grow up like that, as the both of you were too. Ken, and speaking of that, do you have the story that one day you walked into rehearsal and this flute player came and sat in front of you and you said, oh, That's it. She's the one. Well, do you have that story?
It was kind of like that. It wasn't at a rehearsal, but I knew her from the music building.
Sure.
I was a senior, and I had been at Northwestern for 4 years, and she was a new grad student. And, yep, and we, our roommates actually started dating, and that was one of the ways we got to know each other. Our first date was going to a performance of my roommate's composition.
Oh, so. Of course you went to a concert. Yeah.
Yep, that was our first day, a classical music concert.
Yeah. Oh, and then the rest, as they say.
Yep. We stayed together and went to University of Michigan to graduate school together, and Joanna got the job at Central. And for several years, I was up playing the Toledo Symphony while she did that. And then eventually the job at Central opened up, and we've been here ever since.
How long have you been here at Central?
Oh, my gosh. This is my 33rd year.
Oh, wow. Wow. And Kenan?
Oh, 26 or something like that.
Oh, my goodness. You know, I've been here just over a year, but it's not unusual to find folks who have been around for a long time here at CMU, and it's easy to see why. It's a pretty great place.
It's a great place to be. We have great colleagues, and our students are so into what they're doing.
Yes.
And it's just fabulous to work with them. So it's a good place to be.
Now, both of you obviously have studio students, flute students, clarinet students. Do you teach other classes too?
Chamber music. Mm-hmm. We coach chamber music, and we teach the methods class, where we are teaching music education majors how to not only play our own instrument, but how to teach them. So people who will be band directors or orchestra directors.
Right. So someone who is a trumpet player who is going to be a band director, when they get that job and the flute player says, "Can you fix the pads on my flute?" that they know how to do that, right? That's what the methods classes are.
Hopefully. And if they don't, they're not afraid to call us and contact us, and we're glad to help them out.
Yeah, yeah.
And one thing is that we have so many alumni who are out there teaching in the schools all over Michigan, all over the country, really, but especially all over Michigan. And we just, in January, always have the Michigan Music Conference, where we have a big gathering of all those people. And it's incredible to see all the alumni from all those years gather together and be so happy to see each other and share their stories with each other of what they're doing out there in the world teaching. So it's very satisfying to see them actually in their careers,
being
using
successful,
all that.
And it is gratifying.
Yes, to think of all of those folks that you sent out there into the world and spreading music to even more people.
Right.
So, and speaking of music, let's listen to some more. You mentioned that you would like to like for our listeners to hear the Stravinsky piece, three songs from William Shakespeare.
Yeah, and one of the points of playing this is to feature our wonderful colleague Tracy Watson, mezzo-soprano. And I just realized this is about as different from the piece she's going to sing tomorrow night as could be. This is Stravinsky's Three Songs from Shakespeare, which is from Stravinsky's later period when, unlike his earlier pieces, Petrushka and Firebird, which were kind of lush and romantic, he was a little more cerebral and sparse in his writing in the 1950s. He was experimenting with some of the 12-tone techniques of Schoenberg and others. But I think it's wonderful settings of these three Shakespeare texts, a very effective piece for flute, clarinet, viola, and mezzo-soprano. It's quite difficult to put together, and we respect Tracy so much for singing this with these crazy sort of atonal intervals, and she's such a pro and did a great job on it. And a great piece by Stravinsky, not recorded or performed very often, so that's why we included it on this CD.
Yes, this is from the CD Poet as Muse that was recorded in 2017. So let's listen to this three songs from William Shakespeare and with the Crescent Duo and mezzo-soprano and Tracy Watson.
And with Takashi Abo on viola.
Okay, thanks for that. Let's listen. Three songs from William Shakespeare by Igor Stravinsky, featuring mezzo-soprano Tracy Watson. She was joined by violist Takashi Abo and the Crescent Duo, Joanna Cowan-White, playing the flute, and Dr. Joanna Cowan-White, and Dr. Kenan White. He plays the clarinet. They are the Crescent Duo, and they are my guests today. Thanks so much for joining me today. And along with them, Joanna's parents, Phil and Carolyn Cowan, visiting from Berkeley, California. So thanks so much for that, too.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And I was starting to say before that piece is very different than the one Tracy will be singing with us tomorrow night, Catherine McMichael's Dog Chronicles. Dog Chronicles is five short movements, each of which is based on a quote from a famous, and or in some case not famous, dog lover. And it's just a very, very witty and sometimes stunningly beautiful piece. We're going to end the program with that. It's the only piece we're playing in its entirety tomorrow. The rest of the pieces will be just snippets.
Teasers for this ED.
Yeah, movements and selections. But that one we decided to do in its entirety. So it should be a lot of fun.
You are presenting a recital tomorrow evening, Tuesday evening at 7:30 in Staples Family Concert Hall at the CMU School of Music. And it's like a CD release party, Flute and Clarinet Chronicles.
Absolutely.
Right. And I just want to throw in there that we do have two pieces by Roger Zehr on the concert and on the CD. And one of the pieces by Roger Zehr is for flute and clarinet and was actually commissioned for one of or two of our former graduate students on flute and saxophone, Gusta Checker and Ryan Ramsey. And it was such a successful piece that the composer himself made a version for flute and clarinet. Oh. And we got permission from our former students to record it. And we asked them, and they were very gracious about that. And then finally, there is a trio by Roger Zehr that's on the CD, and we will play one exciting movement of it on the concert tomorrow. But this trio was commissioned by the consortium, the Flute Clarinet Duos Consortium, which is a group that is nationwide of flute clarinet groups and sometimes piano, but always commissioning from composers works for flute and clarinet and piano, and we combined together to do a big commission project from major composers. And right now, Kenan and I both have leadership roles in that organization, but we've been a member of that group for years.
So yeah. That organization ensures that there's something always in the pipeline for flute and clarinet duo.
Yeah, we're real proud of the yes. commissions mm-hmm. and the composers mm-hmm. from that group. We've had a new piece about every 3 years.
Oh, nice.
For quite a while. So.
And then just that aside, Kenan and I together commission duos or get grants to commission works for flute clarinet. So we feel that one of our contributions can really be to increase the repertoire and for that combination. And we've really, really seen that pay off. We have recently heard about many groups that are playing works that we commissioned nationwide and even worldwide, some of the works that we have gotten going.
Oh, that must feel really good.
Yeah, yeah, and one of them is by Catherine McMichael from an earlier CD called Eclectic Trio. Mm-hmm. That was with our colleague, Professor John Nickel. And that piece, when we were at, I think it was a flute conference recently, Joanna went by one of the music vendors and saw a brand new edition of that out on the stand, and she said, "Hey, we commissioned that." And they had come out with a new and improved version of it that was better edited or something. Oh. And they gave her a free copy of it. But that piece is getting played, and a number of others, including some by CMU faculty.
And the one, for example, where we paired up David Biedenbender, composer, with Robert Fanning, poet. And the piece Staying the Night that they did together is also being played all over the country and world with different combinations of instruments.
Wow. And yeah, I'm looking at each CD. The one, the Woodwind Echoes is the Eclectic Trio, and then on Poet as Muse is the Biedenbender piece. So if I go to a concert someplace else and I see that this is on the program, it will probably have in the program notes, this piece was commissioned by...
It could, yes. Yeah, we heard it in Detroit at a new music festival this year. And the H2 duo, which is Jonathan Nickel and his partner in music, came and did a concert here, and they performed it for two saxophones. So it's getting a lot of play.
So not only are the two of you sending students out into the world to make and teach music and compose music, you're sending pieces of music out into the world, too. So that is quite a contribution to be proud of, for sure.
We also try to encourage our students to work with friends of theirs or who are composers, or to combine with other students to commission composers. So we try to get them on board with that idea too, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. that's really, you want classical music to be a living thing.
Yes. You hear people say, well, it's just a bunch of old dead composers. So, no, not the case. So
not around CMU. No. If you go to a lot of our concerts, it'll be surprising to hear a piece from the 19th century or 18th century. So,
I've noticed that. Yeah. Are we still doing that, though? I mean, are we still, kids are still playing Bach and Beethoven?
Definitely.
Yeah. Speaking of which, that's the perfect segue, because I know you have to get back to teach. Dr. Kennenwhite, I have a piece queued up just for you. It is the final movement, the Rondo, from Mozart's Clarinet Concerto. Can you tell us a little bit about this?
Well, this is one of the great pieces in our repertoire, of course, and I believe the recording you're going to play is with Robert Marcellus mm-hmm. and the Cleveland Orchestra, and this is an iconic recording of this piece that all clarinet students study this performance as a model, at least as a starting point, and Robert Marcellus is one of the big influences in my playing and one of my teachers at Northwestern. So it's exciting for me to have you end our segment with this recording by one of my teachers.